You're listening to the Saturday Morning with Jack Tame podcast from Newstalk ZB.
Busy hour ahead on Newstalk ZB. So before midday, we've got some new music from Gossip for you. They haven't had a new album in yonks, like ages, 12 years, I think, since their last album. And they kind of emerged on the indie scene in the early 2000s with a really incredible sound, basically courtesy of their lead singer. And before midday, we're going to play some of their new albums so you can see what you think. As well as that, our travel correspondent is going to be taking us all to a warmer spot for a bit of a break. He's headed to the Gold Coast to see what new attractions are available there. Great family spot, of course, so I'm sure he's got some top tips. Right now, though, it's time to catch up with clinical psychologist Dougal Sutherland, who has been researching a whole range of different workplaces and has a huge amount of data that has given him some pretty intriguing insights as to psychological support and to stress in New Zealand workplaces. Morning, Dougal.
Kia ora, Jack. How's it going?
Yeah, very well, thank you. So just talk us through the survey. You've had 7,000 responses, or more than 7,000 responses, and there are some key takeaways.
Yeah, there are. So this is a wellbeing assessment that we run with organisations who are interested to see, to get a baseline, I guess, on the mental health, not only of the individuals that work with them, but, you know, an overall global picture of the mental health within their workplace. And so a couple of key findings. One is that, you know, taking into account that these are people from an organisation who said, oh, we should measure this in our place, so they're already sort of committed to that in some way. Almost half the people that were surveyed reported that they didn't feel that their organisation valued or prioritised people's mental health at work,
and certainly not
to the same level as that as physical health. So that was quite a surprising finding, I think, particularly, you know, when you think about the where we're getting those people from, over 7,000 whose organisations have at least made some commitment to mental wellbeing, because they said at least we should measure this and see what's happening. So that's quite a stark finding, quite a surprise, I think, when we looked at that.
Yeah, that's substantial, isn't it? Because you would have thought, especially given the attention that wellbeing has had over the last couple of years and the greater appreciation of the differences that good wellbeing practices can actually make in a workplace and at home, that perhaps workplaces would be a little more attuned to it. But what do you reckon what do you reckon businesses can do about the results?
Well, I think it's probably a good sort of opportunity, really, for businesses to go, oh, hang on, what are we doing? You know, and even to stop and just to do a stock take themselves. And that probably the best way to do that is actually having to ask your people, because an organisation, I think many organisations would say, oh yeah, no, we value this and it's really important. But this sort of survey result was saying, hey, look, almost half the people don't think that their organisation is walking the talk here.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a good wake-up call, a good opportunity, really, for businesses to do a stock take and go, actually, how is it really going at our place? And perhaps bring the spotlight onto mental health in the workplace. Not at the expense of physical health, but alongside it, to say, hey, look, both of these are equally important and we should be doing something to support the wellbeing of our people.
Yeah, okay. So, there are like really practical things you can actually do in the office to empower your employees, from an employer's perspective?
Well, I think, look, this comes around leadership, and it comes back to some of those things that, for a starting point, that always sound a bit boring to me when I talk about them, but they're things like policies and strategy, and I always think about them as a bit like sort of dark matter in the universe. They hold everything together, but nobody really knows what they do or what they are. But they're super important because they actually set up what an organisation is going to do, and they give a direction and they show that there's a plan, and they force people, or that they show that people have thought about it and are thinking about what they're going to do. So they set you on a course and they chart your course, and without that it's just sort of you're flailing around, really. So this is an area that leaders need to lead in, that that managers and executives need to take ownership of and say, hey, actually, we're gonna put our money where our mouth is. And literally, probably in some cases, they'll need to invest money into this. It's not enough just to sort of, you know, bring out fruit bowls and yoga mats.
Yeah.
You know, it needs to be something more than that. But it has to start at the top. It has to start with leaders and executives and managers.
Well said, as always. Thank you, Dougal. That is Dougal Sutherland. He's a psychologist with Umbrella Wellbeing.
For more from Saturday Morning with Jack Tame, listen live to News Talk ZB from 9 a.m. Saturday or follow the podcast on iHeartRadio.
Shared Lunch is your chance to see behind the share price of the companies you invest in.
I'm not sure that 2024 will be a year that people remember fondly.
Hear from CEOs and experts with a fresh take on what's happening in the markets here and abroad.
There are a number of reasons that you might hold Bitcoin. It's often described as digital gold.
Shared Lunch from Sharesies with Business Desk.
You know, the World Bank is reported as saying that we're probably 3 years into five very difficult years. Where are the opportunities for people here?
When it comes to investing, we'll always bring something to the table. Listen on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.